handle the truth.
Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes. You know why? You don't have the guts to be what you want to be. You need people like me. You need people like me so you can point your fucking fingers and say, that's the bad guy.
Clearly, don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Righteous Prick Podcast. I'm your host, J.L. Covan. It is 8.09 a.m. East Coast time on January 24th in the year of our Lord, 2022. Doing an early pre-breakfast, post-coffee podcast. Today is the last day in New Jersey for me for 3 weeks because I embark on my nationwide obscurity tour. I am taking the train. I got a luxurious room on the train. Right off the bat, Chicago, Thursday. If you're listening to this and you're in Chicago, I hope to see you at the show. If you're listening to this, you live in Chicago and you won't be at the show, what are you doing? What the hell kind of fan are you? I don't understand my own fans, my own supporters, my own following. Chicago Thursday, so I'm taking the train to Chicago. I got upgraded. They had to cancel my original train, and then I had to get switched to a different train, which actually gets me to Chicago slightly earlier, and they had to give me a bigger room. I had a roomette, which is, of course, the feminine version of a room, but now I have a full-size bedroom because that's all they had available, and since they canceled the train, I got the free-of-charge upgrade into the... I've been on these before. Pretty solid, fun, comfy accommodations, and my own bathroom, so no need to use common bathrooms with the riffraff. So then I get to Chicago. The reason I planned for an extra day in Chicago was twofold. I have a contact at a daytime show in Chicago that I appeared on twice in 2020 via Zoom. So I said, let me give myself an extra day, because you know what? Maybe, just maybe, he had said to me, when you're in Chicago, let me know. We'll try to get you on. Unfortunately, the show, as the JL Jinx would have it, was downgraded during COVID to only a one-time-a-week show on Friday. So not even a day before I appear in Chicago. So that became a non-starter. But then I said, okay, well, instead of arriving the morning of, maybe a little groggy, I get an extra day and I can have dinner with a buddy of mine in Chicago that I haven't seen in a while. Well, he can no longer have dinner Wednesday night. So basically I'm getting to Chicago a day early for no reason other than to just pump money into the local economy by spending an extra night in restaurants and hotel. So that's me. Always a giver, folks. So the show is Thursday night, so I'm in Chicago for two nights, and then I depart for L.A. via the train again. This is my Joe Biden nationwide Amtrak tour, with some additional help from Greyhound. I get to L.A. Sunday. I have no shows in L.A. I'm going to try and line up some just like warm-up gigs in L.A., but basically I'm going to be working during the day in my friend's house, just doing legal work, because... You know, it's that's how comedy goes. is that I'll be spending half of my vacation doing work. San Jose Improv on Wednesday, February 2nd, so I leave for that at 5 a.m. on a Greyhound to get to San Jose. I hang out in San Jose for a few hours, go do the show, fall asleep next morning, and all these will be chronicled on my YouTube and Instagram. So if you're not following me on YouTube or Instagram, please follow on Instagram and subscribe to my main, well, both of my YouTube channels, but especially the main one. Actually, I have three if you count Making Podcasts Great Again. So subscribe to all of them. All it takes is a free click and about 8 seconds of your time. But I'll be, like I said, chronicling all this on Instagram and YouTube, my different stages of the journey, different fun things. And obviously, while I'm on the train, I'm sure I will have a segment called Mike Pence Running a Train. So I've got 4 books lined up for my travels. I've got multiple shows, seasons of shows downloaded to my tablet. So then after San Jose, do the show, come back the next day, basically an all-day trip on Amtrak. And then I'm in L.A. for a few days. We got the big L.A. show February 6th at Flappers. Hopefully my L.A. people and my Southern California people have bought tickets. I have no idea what my ticket numbers are for any of these shows. If I'm being realistic, I'm sure all of them will be worse than I hope. But, you know, hope springs eternal until you read my recap post the next day saying I had the greatest set of my life in front of 19 people. Then on February 8th, I go to Vegas for a night just for vacation. I'm probably going to go see David Copperfield just because why not? I'm in Vegas. He performs at the hotel I'm staying at. So I figure, you know what? I've been to Vegas twice in my life. Once with my college basketball team and my mom was there. And then once with my mom and my brother for her birthday, because she's like an Atlantic City old lady. And then we said, well, why don't we take it to the mecca of old people playing on slot machines. So this is my first time, just going to Vegas. I'm only there a night. It's basically to break up the trips because the next day I go to Salt Lake City for 2 jazz games and a show of my own, February 10th at Wise Guys in Jordan Landing. So whoever's listening to this, if you're in any of those cities, come on out. Because I've been getting a lot of, I respect this to a certain degree, but I've been getting a lot of, I was going to have friends come out to the show, but they're nervous about Omicron. And to me, Omicron is already sort of subsiding. I'm not going to states like Florida and Texas where they're probably going to get hit later. You know, they get things slower there in every way. But to me, it's like at some point, I mean, I have 3 shots. I'm going to be traveling with a mask. I'm going to be not engaging in too much. I think all the clubs I'm performing at they're all in, not Utah, to be fair. They just struck down a mask mandate, which tells you, like, when Salt Lake City is too woke and liberal for your state might be the problem. But they struck down, like, the mask mandate and the vaccine requirements for Salt Lake County. Speaking of which, my boy John Stockton in the news. So sad. So sad. My heroes, my youth heroes have really disappointed me. Yeah, all the clubs that people keep telling me they won't be able to go, or I was going to have friends come, but it turns out a lot of people are spooked by Omicron. I'm just like, I guess, but at what point? I don't know. I'm not trying to shame people, especially those on my side, but I'm a pretty rigorous person when it comes to COVID. But at some point, and I said this in last year, Jesus Christ, I said this 7 months ago when we thought we were getting out of this when I was fully vaccinated for the first time. And I just thought, well, at some point I have to trust the vaccine, right? Like, I got the vaccine to protect myself. Like, living as if I'm unvaccinated, this does not mean be reckless, but living as if I'm unvaccinated seems like the worst of all worlds. Like, hey, I've gotten all the shots, but I'm still going to act like I don't have the shots. Well, then, I don't know. I don't mean to judge anybody's individual choice, even though I am. But at some point, it's just sort of like, okay, well, the club requires vaccination. You're vaccinated. That means everybody else is vaccinated. It's J.L. Covan, so you know you're not going to be in a sold-out show. So they'll be but whatever. It just seems, you know, this is sort of the catch-22 of my whole career, is like I've attracted fans that probably half of them wouldn't like my stand-up, would consider to me crude or something. Or maybe they would if they gave it a chance. But they're the overly cautious, whereas the reckless people who might enjoy my stand-up would probably consider me part of the woke establishment left cucks. And then they only go out and see like the most aggressive Joe Rogan affiliated comedians. So you end up in this sort of purgatory, a common theme of my podcast. But it's you know, to each his own, and everybody should do what they're comfortable with, of course. But, you know, for me, it's like at some point, trust the vaccine and still wear a mask and still, but like, you know, if you're a fan of mine, I don't know that will we ever be in a place of such safety that fans of mine will come out to shows. Like, I don't know at this point, because after Omicron, maybe there'll be a more vicious strain, the Tampa strain, and then we'll subside in the summer, and then next year we'll be in the, like, it'll be a flu-like thing, but people will be sort of gun shy when it comes to COVID related things. So at some point, we're either never getting over it, or it's time to get over it. And I don't mean that in a reckless way. I think everybody should get vaccinated, boosted, wear masks indoors right now, especially wintertime, and especially with Omicron going around. But if you've done all the things, you know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but it seems like once you've done all the things, and people keep saying if you're vaccinated, you're at very low risk of illness or anything else. I don't know. It feels like time, but that's selfish of me, because I'm just thinking of, you know, half empty comedy clubs seeing me perform. So those are the tour dates. I have a date for my Billions episode. How about that? Season 6 just started, and I'm not going to lie. I actually, and maybe it's just because I'm so self-interested, but I thought it was a very good season premiere. My opinion on the show has always been they got some top tier actors, and it's sometimes ventures into the bro-y, but I really, you know, maybe it's the reverse JL jinx. Maybe this season is going to be like the greatest season they've ever had. Well, and spoiler, you know, one of the stars left the show, so it might have created a not a desperation, but a motivation for the writers to you know, do something even greater to make up for the loss of excuse me, a major cast member. But my episode will be February 20th. So obviously I'm very nervous, but looking forward to that. Hopefully people like it. Hopefully it's memorable or good enough that people take notice. I don't have to harp on things I've already said about my fear of getting another accomplishment that sort of just fades away and doesn't build any momentum, but so be it. It's still a cool thing. And hopefully it does build momentum, or maybe the character gets written in again. I don't know. But February 20th, folks. After February 20th, I'm seeing Richard Marx and Elton John that week, separate concerts. My mom's birthday is that week. I have a show in the city at St. Mark's Theater with some funny people, February 24th. And then the next week is knee surgery week. And we just hope that it is as the doctor presumes it will be, which is a two-week recovery on a cane before I can start sort of rehabbing and getting towards a full exercise. But there is that slight chance that it'll be some catastrophic repair needed and 6 weeks on crutches. So let's hope it's not that. But obviously the JL jinx will have to weigh in on that one. So there are the gigs. There's the travel. So yeah, Instagram and YouTube will be the places over the next 3 weeks to just see me posting, chronicling some funny train adventures, all my travels around the country. I'm hoping I can sort of relax, even though I have to do like spend half of my time doing day job work. I'm hoping just being out of my element, out of my home, out of my apartment for more than 2 days settles me down, and you know, just being able to leisurely read on while riding the rails, and will be pleasant. I hope. I think it will be. I'm looking forward to it. But I think I described this a week or two ago on this podcast. Sometimes I start getting desperate when I feel like I have a break. Like during 3-day weekends, I feel like a panic. Like I have to do all my relaxing and video watching and reading and exercising because next week's going to suck again. So hopefully I can let go of that. But I hope to see. I don't know. I get a lot of messages from people. This podcast, I appreciate the people who listen, but I get so many messages on, and you make this presumption that your career is going to be like other people's career, but it's always funny to get messages and stuff from other people that you're like, oh, I guess you don't subscribe to my newsletter or listen to my podcast. You just watch my Twitter videos. And I have to be grateful for that because it's better than nothing. But you start to be like, oh, a lot of my fans just aren't very engaged or give a shit about my comedy career. Like, I don't mean caring about it like a family member, but like, oh, you think I'm funny? Well, I always make the mistake of translating, oh, you like my comedy into you like my comedy. But it really means like I like you distracting me once in a while on Twitter, which, like I said, is better than nothing. It counts. But you see, you sort of unfortunately extrapolate like, oh, other comedians, when their fans like them, they join their Patreon and they go see them perform and they follow them on all platforms. And I guess I rose to prominence mostly as a fun COVID distraction. So it's always weird getting a bunch of messages from people. Like I always love the, you were in Chicago, you were in Harrisburg, you were here, why didn't I know this? And I'm like, because you don't give a shit. Like, you just saw this, and then you're still, like, it's just weird. It's like, yes, I don't know any other way other than to tell you to join my newsletter, or if you like my sense of humor, listen to my podcast, whatever. I'm bitching and complaining because I'm tired. But the point is, this is a good month. This is a great month. And then we'll see, we'll see where the career goes from there. Maybe it's time to call it a day. I had a conversation with my mom yesterday because the special, Half Blackface. I'm going to see the footage this week, and we're going to be moving forward on the deal that I referenced that I thought was like kind of a tough deal. But then after a conversation with the person, it was a very fruitful, I think, honest conversation. And the basic plot of my special Half Blackface will be we will edit it, and then it will be shopped to platforms. You know, your Netflix, Amazon Prime, Showtime, HBO. Chance of success there, unlikely. Obviously, I think Showtime is the best chance, but unlikely at all those places. And then after that, it will go, you know, then I'll be sharing some clips on social media, trying to hype it up and for pre-order, and then it'll be available on, like, you know, your iTunes, your Amazon Video, that kind of shit. I'm guessing for $10. I don't know. I can't envision selling it for cheaper than that. But we had a talk about it. So that's I guess the most likely path. I'd love it to sell somewhere, but you know, that's more of a prayer than a reality. But I talked to the guy and he said one of the things he said, which I anticipated, but he said, now we live in a time of sensitivity, and obviously the title Half Blackface is provocative and may turn people off right away. He said, but he said to me, I was prepared for that, but what sort of made me reconsider the title was when he said, you know, there are a lot of stupid people out there, and there are even some stupid executives. Now he was talking my language. It was either he knows how to reach me or he was genuinely just speaking the truth and it resonated with me. But when I was talking to my mom, she said, well, if the title is what stands in the way, then you change the title. And I said, here's the thing. Here's the deal, man. I said, all I need is one executive at one streaming platform to be curious. Not to reject it outright, but to say, what does this mean? Like, why is he saying this provocative title? I believe very strongly in the special. I think if somebody, all I need is one executive to, instead of going, oh, no, to go, huh, this was a really good special. Then we can have the conversation of, we've decided we can't go forward with this title. Now, he was sort of indicating a lot of people may reject it out of hand because of the title. And I thought to myself, do I change it? If somebody watches it and is willing to buy it and just says, what can we do about the title? Then maybe I watch the special closely and say, is there any substitute title that would convey thematically something close enough that if that's the deal breaker between me getting a special on Netflix or Showtime or HBO, then yes, I'm not here to be a martyr for my comedy career either. But I am pretty fucking solid on that title. And it speaks to the special. It speaks to the place in comedy we are. And the bit where Half Blackface comes from is very personal and very risky and also very, like, confessional, in a funny way, by the way, in terms of, yeah, I don't know if this was right or wrong, but I have some standing to think that maybe it was okay. And it is, I've said this to you guys a lot. This special, I am prepared to end my comedy career on this special. And that's not me saying, that's how I went into making it. I said, this is going to be my best work, I believe. And now I know, after actually doing it, it is. But it's also something I'm prepared to leave, because... And this is what I said to my, because my mom was, you know, she's seen me struggle a lot with this and she just wants me to be happy. But it's one of those things where I said, if this special, if me as a biracial person can't share my experience and have a somewhat provocative title, then the whole point, then it's all useless. Then I have to be okay with my comedy career ending. And I don't mean in terms of like, oh no, I'm going to be canceled for this special. That's not what I mean. I just mean, oh, I can no longer, and this isn't Jerry Seinfeld hypothetically saying, I would never do colleges because you could do colleges, Jerry Seinfeld. This isn't me saying I'm too bold for comedy. This is more of a, oh, the direction of stand-up in general and the gatekeepers is not tenable with what I want to do. And, you know, it took years to erode my desire to be a comedian, but that was sort of, what is it, like a war of attrition? I was just worn down from not getting emails back, from always getting like a little bit of success, but never enough to like just make it a career. But this would be more fundamental and maybe an answer to prayer. In terms of, give me a reason to quit. Let me quit. If I need to, let me be able to move on with my life. Because if I can put out the best special of my life, and what I think is going to be one of the best specials of 2022, without question. Singular in terms of its direction, in terms of its narrative. Hilarious without ever being sort of serious or contemplative or powerful. You know, let the jokes speak for themselves. There's a narrative there that I think will resonate and be very interesting and compelling without having to just be like, hey, for these 15 minutes, I'm going to get serious. No, my story is told through jokes, which is what I think a comedian is supposed to do. But if this ends up being a thing where, oh, nobody even wanted to look at it, or, oh, a provocative title, instead of piquing curiosity, was reason to immediately not consider it, then it sort of speaks to what I'm talking about partly in the special. So it would be sort of ironic. I wouldn't go as far as selling out, but it would be ironic to be like, is all that because I just don't believe that the title is what could stop me from selling it. Though I appreciate the idea that people are dumb and reflexive and would go, no, we can't do anything with Half Blackface. Sorry. No, can't. We don't even want to watch it. We're so scared by the title, we don't want to watch it. So as I consider changing the title, I just said, right now, no, that's the title. And my mom even said, like, isn't the term blackface offensive? Like the term, not the activity, but the term. And I go, I don't know. But half is the whole point. Half is the modifier there that makes it comedic. But yeah, that's the story. Like, I think I'm going to stick with the title unless I can, in other words, I won't change my shit for an industry that hasn't shown any interest in me anyway. You know, it'd be like, oh, if I change the title, would they? I don't think they'd care. And if it's an industry that will 100% shut me out because they don't like a provocative title from a comedian they don't know, then fuck it. Then I'm never going to break through. You know, the social media algorithms, the industry, if they all form an unwitting coalition to stop me from having the career I want, then so be it. I won't keep fighting for it if it's kind of an impossibility. It's not worth my happiness or time. But if somebody from HBO or somewhere else were to say, we really like the special, before we decide to buy it or not, we want to know if there's flexibility on the title. Well, then if somebody's taken the time to watch it and is interested in promoting it, that's somebody I can listen to and we can make a decision. But I can't come to the table tail tucked between my legs, because the whole point of the special is not is, and it is one of those things that it'd be easier if I was some angry right of center white guy bitching about cancel culture, because a lot of those people would probably really enjoy this special. But you know what? The people also who were in the audience were almost universally left of center, and they fucking loved it. It is a pure comedy special. Provocative, but always funny. Never aiming, because the stories I'm sharing are my stories. They're not like hypothetical, like, what if I just said this? Wouldn't that be edgy? No. If my life story is too edgy for stand-up comedy, then fuck it. I don't want to do stand-up comedy anymore. I don't need to fight stand-up comedy. I don't need to become a culture warrior. But at the same time, if I'm being honest, I think about, what if the special doesn't get picked up? Isn't that a narrative that a publicist could run with? You know, this comedian from Billions and from his viral impressions shared a very personal, hilarious, provocative stand-up special that was deemed too dangerous or too, you know, and I think there's a narrative that can be spun there through a publicist that could generate attention for the special. That's, of course, not what I'm doing this for, but, you know, the special is great, I think, and I can't wait to see the footage. I don't know how many times I have to watch it, because I feel like if I watch the footage, you know, 10 times, by the end of it, I'll be like, I kind of sucked. But the point is, I did not. It was really good. And so that's just been what's going on with me. So we enter the biggest, hopefully most fun point of my comedy career ever, which is with some nationwide headlining dates, my appearance on Billions, and then moving forward with this special. You know, it's I'm going to go for broke on this one, and probably won't make, actually, I will probably lose money on this special if it doesn't sell to a platform. So be it. This is the chance. So hopefully it sells, and if it doesn't, hopefully the person who's going to put me in contact with a comedy publicist will give me somebody great who can really tell the narrative and get this seen by not just my fans. Because what's funny is I already know, it's a sad thing to sort of say, but I already know, like, only a small portion of my own fans will buy the special, and that's. That in of itself is kind of depressing, to be like, okay, well, I have like 1,000 listeners of Righteous Prick. I have anywhere between 3,000 and 7,000 listeners per week on Making Podcasts Great Again. If all of those people just bought the special as fans of my content, it'd be really good. And then hopefully we reach other people who don't listen to the podcast, of the you know, the six-figure followers I have on platforms. But the truth is, I won't reach all those people because of algorithms, and those people won't buy it. And that's confusing to me. Like, when I'm a fan, but whatever. You've heard me bitch about this many, many times. The point is, I'm probably going to lose money on this, but this is my last best chance to sort of elevate my work. You know, am I gonna lie? Maybe this special, a publicist could get me on Bill Maher or Joe Rogan, and I wouldn't turn down either. I actually watch Bill Maher still. He's annoying me since Trump got out of office. Maher has been annoying me, but he's one of those voices I don't agree with, but still kind of enjoy the show for the most part. I know some people are like, they should have canceled this piece of shit long ago. And it's always weird when I see that. It's like, he's entitled to his opinions. I don't think what he's saying is dangerous. I think I can disagree with it, but whatever. The people have their own opinions. But I would say this right now. I would go on those shows to promote the special. It might because I want this special is not about, like, my comedy is mostly apolitical. Not my impressions and stuff, but my stand-up comedy is almost it's almost entirely apolitical. So when it comes to comedy, if the right hates me because and I think there's an element to both. I think that I get trolled by people on the right who are, you know, they're so anti your feelings but very pro their feelings. Like when you complain, when a left wing person complains, they're all about their feelings and pussies. But when right wing people complain about their feelings, it's like patriotism and tough and just fighting wokeness. It's very stupid. But the left also is very capable. The left sometimes comes, like what I find funny is that when I post a video, sometimes people will just make this assumption that, like, oh, right wingers won't get this. And I'm like, just because you're a left wing person doesn't necessarily make you smarter. Like, you're not getting something that other people aren't getting. So I feel like it's the kind of thing that, you know, whoever comes for me, there's an angle to say, oh, you don't like my comedy because you don't like my impressions, or you don't like my comedy because I'm not towing the progressive line within my stand-up, even though I may vote and think and promote the right things as a person. But in my stand-up, it's not going for clapping and applause lines, you know. So that's what the whole special kind of, in some ways, is about. Not every joke, not every bit, but that's one of the themes kind of running through it, is this kind of middle ground of like, yeah, I don't want the right wing to use this special as fodder for, yes, we should all be allowed to do whatever we want, no matter whose feelings it hurts. But at the same time, you know, it would be funny if left-wing people are like, this biracial person is racist, or this biracial person did racist things and we don't allow it. So you get what I'm saying. So it's going to be an interesting and somewhat tense couple of months, I guess, you know, and hopefully the knee surgery goes well, because I certainly don't need to be on crutches during the most tense part of my comedy career. But hopefully the special goes well. And yes, in March, especially if I'm on crutches, JL, what did I call it? I have to look up what I called it, but JL Plus Prime Max, or JL Max Prime Plus. Yeah, I am prepared to start that in March. So I'm guessing it'll probably be a Patreon page with all the stuff I described a couple of weeks ago. Very affordable and hopefully chock full of good stuff. Book reviews, movie reviews, bonus podcasts, early access to videos, exclusive videos, you know, but at the same time, and I'm hoping what would be nice is if the special and billions could kind of broaden my access, because I'm not trying to milk my most dedicated fans, even though you guys have written to me very nice supportive things about planning on getting the content. But I'd like it to, you know, I'd like to reach a much broader audience than I'm reaching, because it seems, you know, for every 100,000 people I reach, you know, 1,000 engage in my stuff. So obviously it'd be nice to reach 1,000,000 people, because then you're like, oh, 10,000 people are now engaging in my stuff based on that percentage. Maybe it'd be a higher percentage. But I guess I don't really have anything funny to say. This is more of an update podcast. I think The Road will provide a lot of fodder, blog fodder, video fodder, stand-up clips. I've got some really good new bits that I can't wait to unveil. And I won't post videos of the new bits until I'm done in Salt Lake City, because I don't want to spoil it for, you know, I want everything. Obviously, I can do all the bits from the special, because the special's not out. But also, I've got new bits that I want to work on. But as much as I'm so tempted to be like, oh, I'm posting this, I want people in San Jose and LA and Utah to you know, see it totally fresh, the new bits and the special bits. So, yeah, that's it, I guess. Did I see anything? I'm one episode away from finishing this part one of Ozark. Ozark's funny to me, and that is a bit I'm working on, and I talked about it last week about white drug shows versus drug sellers of color. But Ozark, at this point, it's not that it's not still enjoyable, and Jason Bateman just has a very unique skill, which is, and this is not a knock, I'm a huge fan of Jason Bateman, but you could literally take his, if you put menacing music under his dialogue on Arrested Development, you could turn that into a drama. And if you put a laugh track on his dialogue in Ozark, you could turn it into a comedy. He just found this pitch, this perfect, somewhat sarcastic, somewhat deadpan pitch that it's, he's just kind of always funny. And it's not as an insult. He's just, it works. It literally works in drama and comedy. Like, he doesn't have to adjust his tone. He's always, I'm sure he can do many different things, but it's like, it's almost like he gets to be the same character and it works in both situations. So it's very impressive. But Ozark, I think the one good thing about it is, as I watch the show, I go, it seems that this is a great ad for not dealing drugs or laundering money, because it basically looks like a nonstop nightmare of stress, tension, and unhappiness. But it's that tone of the show is sort of wearing on me. It's got that dreary blue tint on purpose. But I'm sort of like, I don't need anything to be happy or anything, but I'm just kind of like, yeah, it's just super fucking dreary. And maybe that's probably a very accurate portrayal of dealing drugs and laundering money, a constant stress ball. But I'm just like, yeah, this is, I'm starting to enjoy the show about as much as the Bird family is enjoying laundering money. So, but I'm going to finish that tonight. What else did I watch? I just finished John Thompson's book, I Came as a Shadow, which I was going to post another joke about it, saying this also sounds like the autobiography of a date rapist. But good book, some good, if you're a fan of, the Knicks or Allen Iverson, or some really good stories about some of the pivotal players that played under John Thompson. But it was an enjoyable sports book. I enjoyed that. Good change of pace for me. Like I said, I have 4 books I'm taking on the road with me. I will take pictures of those. So yeah, Instagram and YouTube is going to be the best place to just sort of see the day-to-day adventures of mine over the next 3 weeks. Cookie's going to miss me a lot because I've basically been Cookie's at home companion for 2 years, since the COVID hit. So hopefully she's okay. I think she's probably going to bark a lot, and then she's going to piss herself crazy when I walk in 3 weeks from now, which will be very flattering. Because that's what she does when she's so excited. She just starts pissing. And, that's nice. So I think that's it. So Ozark I was watching. Did I watch? I feel like I watched a movie or two. But I, like, there's too much. There's just too much. You know, I'm like, I think I watched a thing. Euphoria is starting to lose me. Not just because of the high content of dick, but... that's not even it, really. It's just, it feels aimless. I feel like they had a strategy with season one. I thought season one was outstanding. And season two, naked Cassie aside, is just kind of like more provocative and more of a mess. So I don't know. I just, maybe, you know, that happens sometimes. Sometimes you have a great season in you and you can't replicate it. But it's just, it's sort of a dark mess. That I don't know. I mean, I keep watching this season, but season one to me was so good, and season two right now is just kind of messy. Like somebody's trying to replicate season one, but they don't have it. I don't know. So they were like, "What if we just put more dick and sex? Can we if we just do that? Can we make up for the fact that we don't have the writing?" And the filming is not as good as season one. I don't know. So that's Euphoria. I can't remember what the fuck I watched. That's part of the problem, I think. There's too much. Oh, yes. Thank God. Just remembered. I'll end with this. Friend of mine, Brian McGinnis, had not recommended to me personally, but had posted about the show How To with John Wilson, which is on HBO Max. So I ended up watching it. It's like 2 seasons, 6 episodes each, half hour each. So it was an easy, you know, it took me like a week to watch it. at a leisurely pace. It's a really funny show. It gets a little more maudlin in the second season, but I think it also peaks with episode 2 of season 2, which I don't want to spoil what happens in it, but it was there's just so many funny things about his a cappella. One of the quotes from it that I enjoyed was, I guess they thought that people who did a cappella were so desperate for any kind of group acceptance that they would join a cult. I laughed hilarious because I think it was last week, right, that I was talking about how a cappella makes me so uncomfortable when I was watching the movie Coda, like choir and a cappella. So I resonated, that line resonated with me a lot, obviously, but it's a really funny show and with some heart. But basically, I would say it's 90% Nathan For You, which is an absolutely superb show that was on Comedy Central for a few seasons. And Nathan Fielder, who created Nathan For You, is a producer, an executive producer of How To with John Wilson, which makes total sense. But it's like 90% Nathan For You and like 10% Borat, mainly because of the episode where there's a large amount of content relating to foreskin. So it was a very unexpectedly extremely graphic episode, which is even more funny when you consider this guy's sort of nerdy. He kind of looks like a hipster nerdy Ryan Gosling when you see him on camera, but then he talks like the most awkward nerdy alt comic in history. And I don't know if that voice is put on for the show or if that's how he really talks, but it's kind of funny. But that's a good show. I enjoyed that. A few of the later episodes are more sentimental than they are funny, but overall, very good show. So thanks. I know Brian doesn't listen to this podcast like most of my friends, but thanks for the recommendation. And so there's a good piece of content for you to consume. Ozark and Euphoria, things that I like that are starting to fade on me, I guess is how I would categorize those. But yeah, I guess that's it. Sorry, this one wasn't as... I didn't even do Ron Reagan. Not afraid of skipping my signature move. See that? I finally did it. But sorry, this one wasn't as funny. I hope it wasn't super dreary, but it's just we're at a crossroads. See me at the crossroads. I think I'm at a crossroads with my comedy career, and we're at a very pivotal point. So I appreciate you guys coming along on this portion of the journey, though this episode wasn't particularly funny. But, you know, Chicago, San Jose, Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, billions, half blackface, knee surgery. It's a lot going on in the next 4 to 12 weeks. But I hope I can count on you to support, promote, enjoy half blackface. But I think I got to stick with that title. And I think most of you would agree. But like I said, I'm not here to be a martyr for my comedy career. If somebody were interested and said, how flexible are you in the title? I go, how much are you paying me? And how much do you believe in this special? Because if somebody wants to buy it and air it, they obviously believe in the special. Fuck you, phone. 8:50 on a Monday. Who the fuck is calling? This is the one problem of having a landline. It's definitely a spam call. But I feel like you don't even wait till 9 a.m. before you start disturbing me. In my home, where my children sleep. I always like to go into the Michael Corleone Godfather 2 line, even though I don't have children and they don't sleep here. Into my home, where my wife sleeps. Oh, no, I'm sorry. In my home, where my wife sleeps, where my children play with their toys. but yeah, if somebody wants to buy the special, then that means they respect the content and they're thinking from a marketing standpoint, not from a you can't say that standpoint. But if they never get past the title, is that somebody who's really going to enjoy or believe in my comedy or want to promote it or want to buy it? So I feel like as provocative and risky as the title is, it's in a way, it's a kind of gatekeeper. If I get to the point where it's between the title and selling it, then the title probably has to go unless I can make a compelling case for keeping it. But until we get there, the title is half blackface. And that is, yeah, that's, I it's so weird when somebody's like, I don't want to mess with your artistic vision, and you already feel like pretentious for somebody even referring to your artistic vision, but at the same time, it is, that really is the special, calling it that. So yeah, half blackface, folks. That's, we'll see. Oh, and if you're in Boston, if I have any Boston listeners, I am confirmed for July 14th and July 15th. It'll be three shows, one Thursday show and two Friday shows at City Winery. So they're having me back, which is nice. So that's it. That's it, folks. So I managed to squeeze out a recommendation for you. Hopefully you laughed once or twice. But, you know, this was, I guess, an update. So follow me on Instagram if you don't. Subscribe to my YouTube channels if you don't. Those are totally free. But that's where I'll be posting a lot of stuff over the next 3 weeks. So I will talk to you next week from Los Angeles, California. How about that? Pasadena. Thank you to all of you who still listen, who support this show, who support my comedy. I do appreciate you. I think last week's was really funny and 2 weeks ago was really funny. So this one was more of just a somber update, but not super depressing. I hope we can agree on that. I don't think this was super depressing, but this was more of an update with J.L. Covan. So have a great week. Get boosted if you're not boosted. Wear a mask. Come out to a show of mine. Tell a friend. Tell five friends. Stream my albums if you haven't. Give this podcast 5 stars on iTunes. And get ready to watch Billions. Maybe watch the whole season, but certainly watch on February 20th. So have a good week, folks. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next Tuesday from California.